Thank you. I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that attracted my attention particularly. And one of those was the multidisciplinary nature of the consultations that Madame Suarez Franco mentioned. And I believe she said we don't just need rice experts, we need other types of experts. And anthropologists was one category of experts that she mentioned, with which I completely agree. And I would mention another, scientists too. But that is also strongly linked to finance, another point that was raised, because more often than not, access to the necessary expertise is determined, unfortunately, by the availability of funds and the finance. And that's a reality that we cannot escape from, no matter how good our structures and our policies are. Unless there is a finance in place to enable this access, that access to the necessary expertise will simply not be there. And by way of illustration, perhaps in another context, least developed countries and developing countries do not always have the technical expertise to properly participate in treaty negotiations and ensure their interests are best represented. And the issue of scientists in treaty negotiations became relevant, actually, when the plastic treaty was being negotiated. And it became apparent that, first of all, scientists were essential to the process of negotiating this legal instrument, and secondly, that it was an issue, access to that level of expertise by a lot of countries was simply not there. Something else that attracted my attention was also this multi-stakeholder approach. We all talk about that, and it's almost a trend, a fashionable trend. But it's no longer fashionable, Isabel, that's probably right. Sometimes we find a buzzword and we go with it, and even in international fora like this, we forget to engage with its substance. What does it actually mean in reality? Whose voices are being heard? Is mere participation enough to tick the box of multi-stakeholder involvement and participation? Is speaking the same as being listened to? And I think it's the latter that we worry about. Mere presence is not enough. So in my view, effective participation is much more than mere participation, mere presence, if you like. And it's the effective participation that really realizes the right to development. And which is why inclusive development is the only way in which the right development can be fulfilled. Development which is sensitive to the particular features and the needs of each community, and not simply a generic formula that fits all, which sometimes we make the mistake of referring to development in our legal, economic, and political discussions. And lastly, inclusive development must include the opportunity to contribute not only as individuals but also collectively as communities. And again, I'd like to emphasize here the importance of the right to development as a right not just of individuals but of peoples too. Thank you very much.